Welcome to the Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast, your one-stop shop for television, movie, video games, comic books, book reviews, and more. Now, without further ado, here's Steven and Mike. Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to another fantabulous episode of Two Geeks and a Microphone. Whoo, boy, do we have a fun one today. Hey, I am your co-host, Mr. Steven Boster, along with the one, the only, Mr. Michael Shanks. Mike, say hey to everybody.
Good morning to all you geeks out there in geekdom land.
Okay, now this episode today has been a long long one coming.
Hey, Steven, have you watched Titans yet?
You're right. Hey, Steven, have you watched the Titans yet? Hey, Steven, have you watched the Titans yet?
Okay. Are you tired of hearing that?
The squeaky wheel gets the oil.
You know, for the fun of it, tomorrow I might text you. Hey, Steven, have you watched the Titans yet?
Right. All right. So here's what happened, everybody. So my kid been wanting me to watch the Titans. And, you know, I'm a DC fan. I love DC stuff. And I had not watched Titans. Well, one, I didn't have HBO Max, nor did I have at the time. It was when it first came out, it was on the DC
Universe.
DC Universe.
Yep.
And I had not. And I didn't have DC Universe. And so and I was like, oh, okay. Well, after a lot of bugging, encouraging, I like
encouraging better. Yeah.
Mike was like, have you watched it yet? And I'm like, no. So I finally did. And we are going to talk about all three seasons today, but I think we'll probably spend more of our time on season three.
Right.
Probably two. I struggled to get through season one. I was like, okay, this is unique. It's interesting. But
see, I liked season one. I thought season one was good.
It was fine, but I'm also looking at from the hindsight of seeing two and three now.
Sure. Okay.
And in all fairness, once I got through the first season, I was like, okay. And then you had said that Deathstroke was, you know, the whole thing was season two. And I'm like, okay. Well, once I hit season two, I binge watched season two.
Nice.
I was like, this is good.
Yeah.
Good story. Okay. I get this. And you know, you and I love the character Deathstroke.
Yeah.
You more so than me, but I really enjoy that character. I mean, come on. And Comic-Con, that's why we got our picture taken with
right,
Manu Bennett.
With Manu Bennett. Yes. And then we even got invited up onto his panel.
Right. We saw him outside the room on the way there. We were all headed there and we just bumped into him. And he was super nice guy.
That was so funny. We're heading to his panel, and
yeah,
we look across the hall, and he's heading to his own panel. He's late,
right?
And I'm going.
We were going to
right, and I'm going. I'm looking at Steven, and I'm like, "Hey, that's Manu Bennett."
Right?
And then he looks at us and goes, "Are you coming to my panel?" And we're like, "Yeah." He goes,
he recognized us from getting our picture taken.
Well, yeah, that's true. He did. He did. And then he goes, you want to come up to the table with me? And I was like, nah, I'm good.
No, you're good, man.
Now, had that happened today, I would have been, yeah, heck yeah, let me get a microphone ready.
Right? Hey, we got a podcast.
Right.
Yep. So not only two things struck me at that point, just to continue this story real quick. Number one, he was really super nice.
Yeah, he was.
That's number one. Two, he's shorter than I thought it was going to be. Kind of a thing. But really nice, really nice.
Well, that's okay, because so Wolverine's too tall, so.
Right. That's funny. So then, so go back. So season two, Deathstroke. I loved it, Deathstroke.
Now, Manu Bennett did not play Deathstroke in this.
No,
I don't know. Actor,
I don't know who the actor was, but he did a really good job.
Oh my gosh, he was awesome. I really liked him. I liked him a lot. I don't
they
even
take character in some different places, but I still good.
Yeah,
really.
Well, and you know, I have a little bit of frustration with the fact that we got Rose, which I was really happy with. Rose is his daughter, and she becomes the Ravager. And we got Jericho, and Jericho was portrayed really good too. I really liked him. And the whole deaf, you know, character and everything, really good. But we didn't get Grant, and Grant in the comic books is the first Ravager, the first one to take after Deathstroke. So I was disappointed, because it's like, oh, what did Grant just disappear or what happened? You know, it's kind of like Happy Days. You know, in the first episode of the original Happy Days, Joni and Richie, they have an older brother, Chuck, I believe his name was. And at the end of that episode, Chuck goes upstairs, and we never see Chuck again. I don't know what happened to Chuck.
Okay.
Chuck is never mentioned again in Happy Days after that. So I don't know if Grant was something like that. Of course, we didn't even get a mention of Grant. So,
right.
Grant went upstairs and he disappeared. We've never heard from him again.
Yep. And then we move into season three. Now, to be open, everybody, I started watching once season three hit. I was like, Mike really wants to do this. So I need to really. And I was in the middle of season one. As season three began. And so I finished it. And then season two, I was like, boom, I binge watched that thing.
Nice.
And then three hit. And I'll be open with you. We'll talk about this, but I binged probably the first third of it. And I was like, okay, this is interesting. I like this. And then I kind of, once he got more into Scarecrow stuff,
I got to say, I.
And then it ended. And I got to say this phrase. I'm going to just get it off my chest right now about season three. You get a Lazarus pit. You get a Lazarus pit. Everybody gets a Lazarus pit.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah.
They destroyed the whole Lazarus Pit mythos.
I have some frustrations with the Lazarus Pit, but I got to say I was happy with the resolution in the season finale.
Okay.
And I thought the season finale was fairly good. Okay. And I'm optimistic about season four.
Okay.
But season three was really up and down for me. I think right now I would have to say, ranking all three seasons, I would put season three as my least favorite out of the three seasons.
Oh, I'd go 2-3-1. Wow. Interesting. No. Interesting. Okay.
No. Okay. No, I mean, yeah, I would say, yeah, I would
two
say.
Two is my favorite.
Okay.
Three is my second favorite, and one is my least favorite.
No, I would go 2, 1, and 3. I put three as my last.
Okay.
There were some things I was really frustrated with.
Sure. Absolutely. Okay. So yeah. So there's kind of our overall, because we're starting to get into it. So I was like, okay, wait a minute. Let's go 1, 2, 3 season wise. So now
we get into spoilerific territory.
Yes. Good call. Yes. All right, everybody. We are hitting our spoilerific section, and really most of our podcasts are spoilers.
Sure.
Kind of a thing. And we did talk about seeing it. Let me ask you this. Do you think, for those who have HBO Max, is it worth seeing?
Oh, definitely.
If you do not have HBO Max, is it worth purchasing HBO Max so that you can see them?
Well, I don't know.
I say yes still, because you get a whole bunch of other stuff.
Right.
HBO Max
has got a lot of good stuff on it. So I wouldn't suggest to anyone just getting HBO Max only for the Titans. I wouldn't suggest that at all.
You're just saying it's icing on the cake compared to everything else that HBO
has. Yeah. HBO Max has a lot to offer. So, you know. But I think Titans is a worthy series. I really enjoy it. So, but yeah, I would never say, oh, get HBO Max just for the Titans. Now, I guess if you were going to go, because I have friends who have gotten, well, I guess it was HBO before HBO Max, to watch, I don't know, some of those vampire shows and stuff like that, which I never got into. Okay. But I don't even know what,
like the Twilight Saga?
No, not the Twilight Saga, like True Blood and stuff like that.
HBO only shows. Okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I know people who subscribe to HBO for like 3 months to get True Blood and then stopped.
Okay.
You know, I mean, if you were going to do that for the Titans, sure. I go ahead. But I wouldn't just wholeheartedly say get HBO Max just for Titans, mm-hmm. you know, but mm-hmm. I do think it's a good show. I think if you are a fan of the Titans, I think they do a decent job of representing the characters. Some of them I was a little frustrated with in the beginning. I did not care for Starfire's costume in season one at all. I didn't feel like she looked like Starfire. Honestly,
I thought she looked like, made her look like a
Streetwalker.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I agree with that.
Because I always considered her, I guess my issue with Starfire with the character was always more classy than that because she was royalty.
Right. Well, and she's a lot different. Her character's a lot different in here than she has been portrayed in the comic books, and definitely different than she was in the comic and the cartoon series. If you're a fan of Teen Titans and Teen Titans Go, you might be slightly disappointed with Starfire. She is not like that at all. Mm-hmm. But I've grown to really like the character in this series. I think the character has grown. I think
when
she's a lot
better.
When we
hit third season, how much she had grown, I really liked it.
Yeah, I do too. Mm-hmm. She's still different, though. She's still not mm-hmm. quite what she is in the comic books, but I'm okay with it. I can deal with it. Raven's a lot different. Raven's different in certain ways. Her powers are the same. She has Triton as her father, which I love. Mm-hmm. You know, that's fantastic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they go with a little bit more modern Raven in the modern Titans comic books. Raven is much younger. But see, in the 80s Titans, which is hashtag my Teen Titans, Raven is older. Raven actually has a relationship with Wally West, the Kid Flash. Now, that is something that I wish would come into the Titans. I'd love to see Kid Flash come in here. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping somewhere along the line they bring
season.
Do what?
Mm-hmm. Hopefully, I'd love to see it in the fourth season.
Oh my gosh, it would be incredible. I don't understand.
Okay, well, at the end, that you know, you've got Wonder Girl who's going on her own. You've got you know, there's a lot of characters who are like doing their own thing now. So you've got to plug in some new heroes.
And they brought in Superboy now. I can't speak for the newest iteration of the Teen Titans, but again, hashtag my Teen Titans, Superboy was never part of that. But I do know Superboy was part of Young Justice. And man, they portray him exactly the way he is in Young Justice. I mean, he's just spot on perfect if you go by the Young Justice version of the Connor Kent cloned Superboy, which is actually my preferred Superboy. I love him. He is a great character.
Mm-hmm.
And for anyone who doesn't know it, spoiler alert, Connor Kent is actually cloned from both Clark Kent and from Lex Luthor. So he has this mentality of, am I a bad guy? Am I a good guy? You know, part of me comes from Clark Kent. Part of me comes from Lex Luthor. So it's always in his head. And in this series, they even patrol.
They did a great job with it.
Yeah,
I thought
they did
a fabulous job with it.
And he's a little naive, which he's that way in the Young Justice cartoon series, too.
Right.
Crypto is amazing. I freaking love Crypto the dog. Super dog. He is awesome. He is portrayed perfectly. To a T, love him. Nightwing is awesome too. I don't think they could have picked a better actor to play Nightwing. So good, just
he does a good job.
Amazing. And I have to say, when they introduced Jason Todd, We've talked about a death in the family. So we've talked about Jason's storyline and how he was killed by the Joker. And I, in the comic book series, I was never a fan of Jason Todd. I was one of the ones who voted to kill him off.
now explain that for those that may not know.
Okay. So
death and family comic books come out.
Right. The comic books come out and we have the scene where the Joker beats Jason Todd, the Jason Todd, Robin, who is the second Robin. He is the predecessor to, Dick Grayson, the original, because Dick Grayson at this point has moved on to become.
Grayson was first. He right, had moved on.
He became Nightwing. So now we have Jason Todd. I was not a fan of Jason Todd. So the Joker tricks Jason Todd, gets him into this warehouse, and beats him with a crowbar. Mm-hmm. And the comic leaves off whether you don't know whether Jason Todd lives or dies. And there's actually a phone number. There's two phone numbers at the back of the comic book. One you call to vote for Jason to live. The other you call for Jason to die. And from what I understand, it was actually a really close vote. It was almost split.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah, it was almost split. It was like half of fandom wanted him dead and half of the fandom wanted him to stay alive. Well, I was in the camp of wanting him to be dead. Well, then years later, they revive Jason and they revive him using the Lazarus Pit, which that's a frustration I have in season three.
Okay.
I mean, not that they revived Jason Todd with the Lazarus Pit. I really don't have a problem with that because that is part of the story. That is what happened. But see, when you were brought back to life using the Lazarus Pit, which is a pit that Ra's al Ghul has, which Ra's al Ghul is a major villain to
love him as a
Batman.
Villain.
Yeah.
Oh, he's love him as a villain.
Great villain. Great villain.
Yeah. I've yet to be satisfied or happy about a Ra's al Ghul interpretation, except for Liam Neeson. Liam Neeson in the one Batman movie, Batman Begins, I thought did a great job.
But we didn't get enough of him.
We didn't get enough of him.
Right. Yeah.
We sure didn't.
There just wasn't enough of that.
There was, and they could have fleshed him out so much more.
Part yeah, of the you plan, ain't kidding.
Lazarus Pit. Anyway, continue on about Lazarus Pit and stuff. So, we'll get into that in a little bit.
So when you are raised from the Lazarus Pit, now they did a good job of the Lazarus Pit in Arrow, in the Arrow series. I thought, although it was weird because Arrow just became Batman. Well, that's for a different episode.
That's a whole nother. Yeah. That's a whole nother podcast.
So that is definitely a whole different podcast. But anyway, but when you come back from the Lazarus Pit, you're insane. You've lost it. You are gone.
You lose.
Right.
Yeah. You every time you go through, you get a little bit more crazy.
Right. Exactly. And we don't get that at all from the Lazarus Pit in this series. So
Titans season three.
So, but in the comic books, Jason is resurrected using the Lazarus Pit. He goes a little bit nuts and he becomes Red Hood. And I thought
in this season, they did a pretty decent job with that.
They did. They did. I
part of it.
Fairly good with that. I'm fine with that. I'm okay with that. Because actually I liked him a lot.
I liked him, the Red Hood, the whole Red Hood.
Oh, thing, yes. I have to say, I like Jason Todd a lot better in the TV series Titans.
Much more better
than I did in the original comic books. In the comic books, I hated him. And in the TV series, I really like him. I liked him as Robin.
Did you like him as Robin? Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
I even liked him as Robin. I thought he was good. I really enjoyed him. I hated him as Robin in the comic books.
Yeah, he was snarky. He was snarky as Robin.
Yeah, he was. He was very good. And then when he became Red Hood, I liked him even more. I'm like, yeah, this is the Jason Todd I knew and actually came to love in the comic books, because that's the version of Jason Todd I liked the best in the comic books. So that I thought they did well. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I agree.
But then...
Yep. Okay, then, here it comes. Everybody get ready!
Well, we do get the moment where Jason Todd kills Hawk, you know, Hawk and Dove, and Jason Todd kills Hawk, which sucked.
Sort of. the way they did it.
Oh,
Had her pull the trigger, which was the detonator.
Right. I'm just saying it sucked that Hawk died.
We lost Hawk.
Right. Mm-hmm. I like Hawk a lot. I like that character. I'm not saying that sucked in the TV series, you know, that was portrayed badly. Actually, mm-hmm. they did a darn good job.
You know, it was probably that aspect of Titans season 3, the storyline of her pulling the trigger, that he tricked her into pulling the trigger.
Wow.
Is probably one of the top 5 moments within this whole season for me.
I got to say that was really good. That was definitely at the same time a highlight and a low light. You know, I mean, it was a highlight because it was good storytelling.
Oh, it's great.
It was a low light because we lost Hawk. And
we lost Hawk.
Hawk is such a good character. So it was just a bummer there. But then we go on and then we meet Scarecrow. Okay.
Yeah.
Scarecrow is one of my favorite Batman enemies. Mm-hmm. I love the Scarecrow. Mm-hmm. I hated him in this series. I couldn't stand him. He was a total pothead. And he's not that in the comic books. He's not that at all.
I mean, I get the aspect they're trying to make him pothead so he could slow down his brain. They said that a little bit earlier on, but still I was like,
it was stupid. I hated it. And I never felt the character was Scarecrow. Not once. I did not get that feeling from him.
Yeah. Agreed.
And I got a bad feeling that's the way I'm going to feel about the Riddler in the upcoming Batman movie, but that's another
whole another subject.
Yeah. That's another episode too. Huh.
I will say this. I agree with you, and it's one of the things, the reason I didn't like this season was the Scarecrow.
Yep.
Because one, he was never Scarecrow.
Nope. We only got one aspect. That's when he gets into Wayne Manor and he gets into the Batcave and he sees the Scarecrow mask because Bruce Wayne keeps a souvenir from every villain that he captures. Mm-hmm. So he's got the Scarecrow mask. It would have been better if he would have put it on, you know? Okay.
He never put it on.
Yeah.
I don't remember him ever putting it on.
Take up your mantle. Go ahead.
Take it. Oh, I like how you said that. Take up your mantle.
Yeah. I mean, that is your heritage.
But then they played him this crazy, you know, hurt by his mommy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of a thing. And I was like, really? This is what you're going to go with?
Yep.
This character? This is one of the top echelon villains of Batman.
Yep.
And this is how you're going to treat this character?
Yep.
So, I agree with you. I was really upset about the whole thing. I'll put it to you this way. As it progressed, anytime I saw Scarecrow on the screen or that character, you know, Crane,
yep.
You know,
yep.
Anytime I saw him on there, I did not care.
I didn't either.
I was like, let's just get this over with. Just now, get it over with.
I'm going to go into a different subject. Blackfire. Okay. Blackfire.
Yes.
Blackfire. I love the character. Love it.
Okay.
I love that they brought Blackfire in. I think she's fantastic.
I did not know. I was not familiar with the character, and I did enjoy her. Yes.
I know the character because I've been following Titan since I was 10 years, 12 years old, something like that. I've been following Titans a long time. I know the story of Starfire. I know the story of Blackfire. They changed things slightly, and at first I was really disappointed with them changing it. But as the story went along, I'm like, okay, I guess I can live with it. I'm all right with it.
Okay. Which part is that? Help me understand that.
The fact that Starfire was accepted and Blackfire wasn't, which now that's true. That is what happens in the comic books too, in the original comic book.
I like that aspect. I thought that was intriguing.
Not the issue. The issue was, okay, in the comic books, the reason Starfire is accepted is because she has the gift of flight. They don't even portray them having flight in the Titan series.
No, they just, as I understood the series, which this is how I took it, was that she had powers.
Right, right. She had star bolts. She can do the star bolts. Okay. Which in the comics, both of them could do the star bolts. That was natural. But only Starfire could fly. Blackfire couldn't. So therefore, Starfire was the accepted one and Blackfire wasn't. Well, they changed this. And I know people are going to go, who cares? It's just something that irked me a little bit. That's all.
I think it speaks to the issue of where we like what was done. You and I are individuals who like, what have you done originally with the character and maintaining that? Because that is part of the character.
Right.
Now, if you develop something with the character, that's different than totally changing the character.
Now, they gave it a twist in here, though.
Okay.
Because they gave it a twist where Blackfire is actually the first born and mm-hmm. Blackfire actually has the power mm-hmm. or no, was she the firstborn?
No, she was secondborn.
Right. She was the secondborn and she actually had the power, but Starfire was the firstborn and Starfire didn't have the power and they reversed the power. So
yeah, I like this storytelling because I didn't know the characters. And so this is the original, the beginning story. Oh, how interesting. The parents, the firstborn is always has to have the
right.
They take up the mantle kind of a thing. And I thought that was interesting. And I was like, what? It was Blackfire's power the whole time where you thought it was the other way around.
Right. And I don't remember that twist in the comic books. I don't remember if they had that twist or not. Mm-hmm. So when they told that part of it, I was like, okay, I guess I'll be a little more accepting of this. And I started to like it more as we went along. So, I really liked the Blackfire character. I thought she was good. I thought she was portrayed very well. And she still gives me this whole, I'm not sure whose side she's on. I really like that. Because in the comic books, we always know she's never on the good side. She's always a bad guy.
Oh, okay.
There is no ambiguity. I can't say
ambiguity.
Right. There's no ambiguity about her character whatsoever in the comic books. And I did like that. I enjoyed that in this series. I thought that was cool. Because it was like one minute she felt like, okay, she's fully on board with the Titans. And then it's like, wait a minute. I don't think she's on board with them anymore.
It's a good point. Do you think, I guess one of the themes within Titans is this concept of good versus evil ambiguity.
Yes.
That there's good and evil in everyone. I that seems to be a theme within characters, and it may be characters abroad. I mean, on TV is where we try to bring out good and bad of everybody.
Well, I think that comes from one of the big storylines in the Teen Titans comic book was the Judas Contract with Tara. And Tara's she's not in the TV series at all, but she was in the cartoon series. Tara was actually a plant from Deathstroke. She was a double agent within the Titans. She was working for Deathstroke, but she was there to gather information for Deathstroke. And they took her in as a Titan, and they trusted her, and then she turned on them because she's obviously being controlled by Deathstroke. So, and I think that's kind of where they were going with. And then they played that a little bit with Rose in season 2.
Uh-huh. Okay.
They put Rose in the Tara role, but okay. I kind of think they were sort of doing that with Blackfire in season 3 also. Maybe not exactly the same, but just that whole you're not sure where her loyalties lie,
Side she's on. Right. Okay.
And I liked that about her. It made it interesting.
It did make it interesting. When there's that scene where Blackfire got shot and Starfire's trying to heal her and all of a sudden her powers go to her. She was like, you stole my powers.
Right. Yeah.
You meant this from the beginning. I'm like, oh no. Then I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that. Oh man, she's still playing it off like, no, I had nothing to do with it. Blackfire, I got nothing to do with it. I'm like, oh, this is intriguing. And then when Starfire has those visions about her parents and you find out that she had powers to begin with, I was like, oh, what? So.
Well, and then we had Blackfire use Superboy.
Yeah.
Because she flat out knew that Superboy would be able to create the fuel for her ship. Mm-hmm. And she was flat out using him.
Right.
And then Superboy blows up her ship.
Right.
Because he's pissed because she's going to leave him.
Yep.
I thought that was great. I loved it.
It was good.
It was good.
I did not see that coming, actually, him blowing up the ship.
I didn't either. I was like, whoa. Dang. I was like,
uh-oh, something happened. His adjustments were off. And they were like, you did this on purpose. Yeah. You know?
And he did. Like, and he didn't lie about it either.
He didn't lie about it. I was like, I like the Superboy. He's pretty good.
Superboy is awesome.
I think, but you know, that's this same thing we're talking about is exemplified in the entirety of Superboy's character as Connor Kent. I mean, he's battling the Superman side, the Clark Kent side, and the Lex Luthor side.
Yep.
Constantly. And you never know where he's going to be at.
Yep.
Now, so let me go ahead. You finish your thing. And I want to tack on to this about one of my biggest gripes about this.
Okay. Well, I was going to go back to Nightwing.
Yes.
So Nightwing and the Lazarus Pit, because this is where this is where my frustrations, you know, I had major frustrations with Scarecrow. But then I had a big frustration with the Lazarus Pit, because we have the point where Nightwing gets shot. He gets shot by one of GCP.
Bystander, whoever. I shot him for you, Red Hood. You know, I was like, who?
I thought GCP PD shot him.
No, one of the mob. I shot him for you. And I'm like, you're going to take out Nightwing. Well, one, I didn't think he was going to die.
Right. Well, they're not killing Nightwing.
They're not killing Nightwing. But the other part of me was like, oh, that's not an epic hero battle kind of thing. He gets pimped out. You know, boop, little pimp slap. Boop, you're dead.
That's a peanut allergy death there.
It's a peanut. That's right. Peanut allergy death. It's just crazy.
So, yeah, you know? they take out Nightwing. And then what do? They take him to the Lazarus Pit.
When they did that.
I'm sitting here going, okay, there's a problem here, because he should go nuts coming out of that Lazarus Pit. Mm-hmm. And he walks out just fine. Just, yep. Oh, I'm Nightwing. No problem.
Yeah. That whole thing with the Lazarus Pit, I was like, whoever's writing does not get the mythos behind the Lazarus Pit.
Right. They don't understand it. And
they don't understand it.
That was extremely frustrating for me throughout this season. That's why I started off watching these like fast. And then I was like, yeah, I slowed down towards the, you know, middle of the season.
I did the same thing.
Because I was like, I am so frustrated with this whole Lazarus Pit thing. They don't know what they're doing. Now, they kind of resolved it with the season finale. And I get the resolution. Not saying I like the resolution.
Okay.
But I get it. You know, it was like, okay, this is why you toned down the Lazarus Pit. This is exactly why you toned down the Lazarus Pit. But I don't like it. You should have come up with a better solution. This sucked.
You know what my first analogy was with that whole thing of how they took the Lazarus Pit and spread it out, made a storm with it? You Phantom Menaced it. It's the whole thing with the robots. Okay, here's this thing. You've got all this epic stuff going on, these battles and fights and everything's going wrong bad. You've got people who are dead in the streets and stuff like that. And then you just do one thing to fix it.
Look.
You blow up the ship that commands the robots and everybody shuts down. Oh, we just give them everybody gets, you get a Lazarus Pit. You get a Lazarus Pit.
Look, they're all brokey.
Right? Yeah. And
Charger Binks. Look, they're all brokey.
Yeah. So what that did for me was it took away the stakes of the ending. All this stuff that you made me go through the second half of this series, that all of that you just got rid of in a heartbeat.
Well, they just used the Lazarus Pit to reverse what Scarecrow did, because Scarecrow put his toxin into the water at Gotham.
Right.
And gave it to pretty much everybody in Gotham. Okay. So I get the resolution. I get it.
Right.
I don't like it. I thought it was
bad storytelling.
Yeah, it was a too easy way out. I didn't.
Well stated.
Yeah. So that's what made me really frustrated with those this season. It was those two major things right there. It was Scarecrow, because he was not Scarecrow. I think they should have just gave him a different title, should have made him a different character. I think that would have been better.
Yes.
Much more better. As we like to say.
And he really was. In all openness, he was a different character. He was not Scarecrow. He was not Dr. Crane.
And had they not called him Scarecrow, I probably could have accepted him a lot better. You know, heck, make him a new character. I don't care.
Make a new character. Yeah, right.
The Titans can have a new character, you know. Well,
I think it goes back to what we said earlier is don't take an existing character with its own mythos and then start changing it.
Right.
There's a reason why that character has become so so iconic.
Yes.
And when you start changing that, what are you doing? You're messing up the point of why that character came to be.
Look, Batman is known as the man with no fear. And Scarecrow is the only character in the Batman universe who has actually ever put a scare into Batman. Mm-hmm. And that's the fascinating thing about Scarecrow. You know, and I didn't get that out of this one.
I did not get that. That reminds me. I got the thing you were trying to make him smart, and I got the thing you were trying to make him like a big chess player. But
yeah, I get that. And Scarecrow should be those things.
He should be.
I agree with that.
I don't know what it was that they did. I just didn't like it.
But yeah. Oh, and there is another big issue with this season. Bruce Wayne.
Okay.
Bruce Wayne. Mm-hmm. Bruce Wayne gives up on Gotham City. Bruce Wayne gives up and gives up the city. I had the same
Joker. He killed the Joker.
Yeah. They said I was fine with that. I'm like, yeah, whatever. You know, I'm okay with it because it played into.
Which one's what story is that? Batman, the last laugh or laughing?
Oh, you mean the Killing Joke?
Killing Joke. Because at the end, you know, the question is, did he kill him or not?
Right. Yeah. Sorry, I guess somebody ringing my doorbell. I guess we got a delivery here. I don't know. Anyway, I don't know if you guys heard that or not. My Amazon Alexa just said someone's at the front door. Anyway, I had the same issue with Batwoman. I couldn't watch Batwoman because it was all about, well, Bruce Wayne gave up the city and I'm like, that's not Bruce Wayne. That is not Batman. Batman wouldn't do this. Bruce Wayne wouldn't do this. This is wrong. I'm like, you just don't even get Batman. Have you ever picked up a Batman comic book? Because I don't think you have. So I had the same frustration. I refused to watch Batwoman. I still won't watch it to this day because I hate that. And they started going down this route with Titans. And I was like, oh, man, don't make me hate the Titans. Do not make me. Titans are one of my all time favorite superhero groups. Please do not make me hate the Titans. And I accepted it only because I'm like, all right, it's going along for this story and it's going to get better. And it did get better because we had that moment where Bruce was actually going to commit suicide. And I had an issue with that too. Bruce Wayne's not going to do this. This is stupid. But we also have that moment. Was it Wonder Girl? I think Wonder Girl's the one who saves him. I can't remember. One of them ends up at the castle. I think it's Wonder Girl because when she comes back from the dead, she ends up at the castle wherever Bruce is at, which is in another country. And the castle's on fire. And she scoops him up and gets him out of there.
Oh, right.
So I was okay with that. I'm like, okay, at least they save Bruce. Bruce comes back and we kind of have this redemption. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, this is not Bruce Wayne.
Right.
This is not Bruce Wayne. This is not Batman. I don't like this. Yep. So, but I did like the redemption. I did like he's coming back. He's going to take back his mantle and be the Batman again. And Gotham's going to have its Batman back. So, okay, I'll accept it. So I felt it was okay to end with that and at least give him a redemption. And I did like the little redemption story between him and Jason Todd, too. I thought that was pretty good.
It was good. So yeah, the way that ended, yes. But again, it ended so quick. You know, you built this stuff. Oh, I mean, just blah, 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 you know, kind of a thing. And I think one of the things that surprised me about Nightwing's character that I did not like, as far as character development goes, was the whole thing of like when he got the kryptonite dust and did that to Superboy. Oh. And in this kills me, the self-loathing of superheroes. Well, I got to do it myself or, you know, this is my fault and blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm like, dude, you created the Titans. You're the one who is all about teamwork, but you're not treating it as such. What's the story? I mean, it's not a good character making sense, if that makes sense.
Well, they're taking aspects of that from the Batman character, actually. Because there's some of that with Batman. Batman has some regrets, and you know, there are times where Batman goes through remorse that he has brought in Dick Grayson, that he's brought in Jason Todd, that he's brought in Timothy Drake, that he's brought in Barbara Gordon.
But I'm excited about
Timothy.
But in the stories, yes.
I have a comment about Timothy Drake too. Okay. But there are aspects that of the Batman character that they actually threw onto Nightwing that really doesn't really fit Dick Grayson. Dick Grayson, you know, Batman's always got some remorse in his background. He always does. There's just always this, you know, I got to do things myself and that kind of thing. That's always in Batman's background, but mm-hmm. Nightwing's never been that way. So I felt mm-hmm. they projected a little bit of Batman onto Nightwing, and they probably shouldn't have done that. And you're right. The kryptonite dust, Batman would have done that. Nightwing would not have. I agree. But mm-hmm. that is a move Batman would have done. Batman would have done that to Superman. Because he would have done that to Superman to go, I'm going to do this myself. I don't need you. mm-hmm. But there's always been that tension between Batman and Superman. That's part of the fun of their relationship.
The world's finest.
Right. But you don't have that between Dick Grayson and Connor Kent. That doesn't exist. So yeah. I agree with you. You're right.
You know, it seems to me that much of what we have with Titans is a confusion of who characters are.
Yeah. And
we've got all this plethora of great characters and stories, and they're trying to put different ones in different places, which, no, just take the richness of what you've had and given from the comic books and run with those.
But I think at the core, they get to that. I think they do get to it at the core of the show, because mm-hmm. you know by the end of this we've got the Titans back together, and they all seem to be good. So,
right.
I think that's there at the core. I think they've had missteps along the way during the three seasons.
Okay.
I think we've just seen some missteps. That's all. But okay. I think we're getting to the point where we're going to see the real Titans now. It could be argued we should have seen that in season one. You know.
Sure. Right. Why did it take this long?
Right.
You know.
I agree.
So. Kind of a thing. Now, I will say what they did with Raven's character, how we didn't see her till what? Episode seven or eight?
I'm wondering if something was going on with the actress that she just couldn't be there, you know? For that many episodes,
sure.
Yeah, we didn't see her for the first whole half of the season. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Agreed. I did like how they portrayed it, like she was learning how to use her powers with the Amazons, and I thought, okay, that's fine. She's off learning her powers, kind of thing. But I'm like, what do the Amazons have to do?
Right.
With her
that my they have nothing to do with the occult side of things. It's like, why do you have her on Themyscira learning from the Amazonians? They are nothing alike.
Nothing alike. That's two different fighting styles.
You ain't kidding. That's totally different.
That's, you know, yeah.
To me, that made no sense whatsoever.
You know, I did like the fact that she was learning to use her powers.
Sure.
Because I did not like, I can't control it, you know, kind of a thing. And I get that. That
heck,
was
it would have been better if they would have had Constantine trying to train her, though.
That'd be cool. That would have been cool. Bring in some Matt Ryan.
At least he's part of the occult.
Right.
And he knows who Trigon is, so he knows her powers. Mm-hmm. I think he would understand her way better than the Amazonians would. And I don't know. That completely made no sense whatsoever. It's like,
right.
I don't know. Were you writers like taking some of Scarecrow's toxins or what?
Yeah. I think there's just confusion of the characters or the storylines or the, yeah. You know, it's like, hey, you got this job, but you're already a writer, but you didn't do the research, the deep research that you should have done.
Right.
It's kind of like people who are, the difference between college basketball and professional basketball. I have heard, not that I'm a basketball guy at all, but they say college games are much more better. They're more exciting than professional ball. And that's because, look, they're trying to get to professional ball. You know right. What I'm saying? They're fighting to get onto professional ball. I think it's with the writers. When you are a writer, or you're getting started or whatever, man, you're doing your research. You want to make sure I'm treating these characters like if I'm new at DC or whatever. But then once you kind of, quote unquote, make it, or I'm already a writer on another show, I'm already a writer. I don't need to know all this stuff. I just need to write the story.
I get what you're saying there. But I also heard a thing earlier today that they say that streaming shows – streaming cable shows or whatever you want to call them, but these streaming shows, they tend not to last past three seasons. So if you're a writer and you're on the Titans and you're not past season three, you should be doing your due diligence to make sure that these characters are perfect, you know, so you get past season three. Now, they did get past season three. We know that because we watched some of DC Fandom, and the actor that plays Nightwing did announce season four was coming. So we know.
Yay!
Yeah. And I'm happy about that. I have high hopes for season four. I think season four is going to be good. Granted, I'd like to see a trailer, but you know, we'll get it. We'll get it in probably a few months or so. We'll get some kind of trailer or something. But yeah, if that's your motive as a writer, then yeah, you ain't hit three seasons yet. So,
you know, I think for some it's like, oh, I've already made it. I've already got a job. I don't need to put any more, you know, work behind it. And I'm thinking, man, if you've got something like these properties, like DC, you know, or any kind of thing that has an established lore to it.
Yeah.
You need to be respectful of what came before you. And some parts of the storytelling of Titans, I would thought was disrespectful to the lore that came before it.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree.
You know, some what made it really good. So what did you think? I so thought of you on this one. Like the whole thing of shutting down Oracle, where, you know, you've got, I mean, I thought she was Oracle. I didn't think
right.
Oracle
was
computer program AI.
Oracle, okay, in the comic books, Oracle was, Barbara Gordon was Oracle. And yes, Barbara Gordon used the computers, and Barbara Gordon was a lot like Timothy Drake before Timothy Drake came along. You know, because Timothy Drake was known as the real techie version of Robin. You know, he was all up on the tech, and he, you know, he knew about the computers, and that was something, you know, that was also before both Jason Todd and Dick Grayson's era. You know, the computer era really wasn't that big when, you know, the two of them were Robin. And by the time Timothy Drake comes along, now we're all into the computers and we're on to searching online and all this kind of stuff. So, but Barbara Gordon did a lot of that. She was the one more or less at the bat computer, basically, mm-hmm. her version of the bat computer. And mm-hmm. she was known as the Oracle. So that was a little twist.
That's what I thought. I was that is weird.
And I was okay with it. I mean, it was fine, you know, but I was like, she is the Oracle. It's not, the computer's not the character. She's the character.
Yes.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So I don't know. It was okay. You got a visitor there?
Yeah, I think the dog is barking. Sorry.
No problem. No problem. I had Alexa talking, so.
Right. Well, overall, I did enjoy the series. I did enjoy season two really well, but that's because of my bias towards the character of Deathstroke and how they handled
him. Me too.
And I thought it was really well. It was really well done.
Did like when Hank was explaining to when Hank was in the afterlife with mm-hmm. Donna Troy, Wonder Girl, mm-hmm. and Timothy Drake was there too, which was kind of weird, but. When Hank was explaining to Donna Troy what happened to him, and he describes Red Hood as, I don't know, he's some kind of Deathstroke wannabe. I was like, yes, that's exactly what he is.
Right.
I loved it. I loved that. I was like, that was a perfect description of Red Hood. I loved it. Fantastic. Oh, my Timothy Drake comment. Mm-hmm. I have something to say about Timothy Drake. This might be a little mean.
Okay.
The actor that plays him, and no hatred or anything towards him. I thought he did a fine job. I really did. I liked him. I enjoyed him. I thought he portrayed Timothy Drake really well. But the actor has a oddly shaped face. Again, I'm not saying anything mean. I'm just saying... He looks odd. And every time I look at him, all I can think of is Cosmo Kramer from Seinfeld. He reminds me of a young African-American Kramer. Just something about it, the shape of his face, it reminds me of Kramer. And I'm having difficulties imagining him in the Robin Domino mask at this moment.
It should be interesting.
Yeah,
it should be interesting. I'd imagine that would be the process of season four would be becoming
Robin. Robin,
yeah. I thought it was interesting that he was like, oh, why don't you join us for our, you know, our family time in the RV, you know, at the end and stuff and all that. I'm like, well, where are they going with this?
You know, okay, I do have a problem with that because Robin should be trained by both Dick Grayson and... by Bruce Wayne.
Okay.
Because in Robin, I think Timothy Drake's story started with Robin year one, because they first told Dick Grayson's story in year one, but then they went into Timothy Drake becoming the Robin. And actually, one of my all-time favorite story portrayals in the Batman comic book was when Dick Grayson is training Timothy Drake, and he takes Timothy to a park really early in the morning. I think before sunrise. And Timothy Drake's like, "What are we doing?" Dick goes, "Just sit and watch." And Timothy's like, "Okay." And they go through the panels, and you see the time of day changing, and you see kids coming in the park and playing, and you see them leaving, and then you see the sun setting. So you know they've been there the entire day from sun up to sundown. And the whole time, Dick says not a word. He doesn't say anything. And then he looks at Timothy, and he goes, "Now, I want you to describe everyone that came through this park." And my mind went, bam, wow, oh my gosh. I couldn't do that. There's no way. But it shows you the the perception that both Dick Grayson and Bruce Wayne, because you know he learned that from Bruce, mm-hmm. that they have. They're so in tuned to everything around them, you know. And I think that's an important lesson for life, you know. You need to be in tune to what's going on around you. You need to be able to point things out that's going on around you. You should always be on the lookout what's around you. And I mm-hmm. think that's the lesson from that. And, you know, that was something cool. And that's training from Dick Grayson, I agree. But Timothy receives training from Bruce Wayne also. And I just got this feeling that he's going off with the Titans and he's going to get all his training with the Titans. And I don't think that should happen. I think there's got to be this relationship developed between Timothy and Bruce. And yeah, I think that's a slight mistake. But we'll have to see where it goes in season four.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Yeah. It'll be
interesting. I had another gripe too.
Uh-oh. It's a gripe session day.
Yeah, this is just a little personal problem I have. So in one of the episodes where Jason Todd comes out in Gotham City, and you know, it's when he's getting the crowd to go along with Red Hood and all this stuff, right. He does something that really irks me on a personal level.
Okay.
Me being a Second Amendment advocate,
right?
I hate this. Jason Todd walks out into the street and fires his gun into the air. You know, gravity is a real thing.
Right.
And gravity also exists in Gotham City. Isaac Newton was correct. What goes up? Must come down. When you shoot a bullet in the air, I know Hollywood thinks that bullets magically dissipate in the air. They do not. They come back down. And when you shoot it up in the air, you don't know where it's coming down. And as a advocate for Second Amendment rights and somebody who believes in gun safety, true gun safety, you never do something like that. That's stupidity.
Right.
You always know what your target is. You always know what you're shooting at, and you know what's beyond your target. And if you don't, you shouldn't be handling a gun. And that's, I know it's a TV show. I know it's not real, but it's the fact that people watch this and then they think that's a smart thing to do.
Shoot my gun in the air.
Yeah. I'm going to shoot my gun and shoot a warning shot. Don't do that. Do not, don't ever do that. You don't shoot warning shots. There is no warning shot. Sorry.
Right.
And besides, ammo is too expensive and too hard to get right now to shoot warning shots. Trust me. I know. There was also a panel in the new 1989 Batman comic book, Harvey Dent, which is Billy Dee Williams in the comic book. I love that. But he has a moment where he does the same thing. He shoots a gun up in the air to scare off criminals. And I'm like, oh, God, don't do that. Don't do that. Right. I don't know. It's just a personal gripe I have.
So, oh, my God.
There's my safety tip for the day, boys.
Safety tip for the day. Yes. With power comes great responsibility.
Wrong comic company, but okay.
That's responsible. Being responsible.
Yes, though. I agree.
Right.
Be responsible. Be responsible.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. All right, man. Woo! Titans. Yes, I made it through. Thank you for bugging me about it. It was fine. You know, it was good. It's intriguing. I'm involved in the storylines of the people and stuff. And we didn't get to some of the others, but you know, we only got so much time.
I told you it was a good series. I mean, it is a good series. Even with its flaws, it's still a really good series.
Yeah.
I think the costumes have come a long way since season one.
Right.
Season one, I was a little iffy on the costumes, but.
Right.
But yeah, they got much better, much more betterer.
Much more betterer.
Yep.
All right, man. Well, hey, everybody, thanks for joining us. feel free to give us your opinions, thoughts, and feelings about what we're talking about. The Titans, have you seen it? What do you think about it? Would you rank them? How would you rank season 1, 2, and 3? Which is your top one and which one is your lowest one and why? So,
what's your favorite era of Titans for that matter? I mean, are you a Teen Titans comic book fan? Are you a Teen Titans cartoon fan? Are you a Teen Titans Go cartoon fan? So on and so forth. So,
yep. I like it. Yeah, let us know.
We need to plug our website too.
Go for it.
So if you're visiting us and if you'd like to visit us, go to twogeeksmike.com. That's the number 2GEEKSMIC.com. That's our portal to everything. You can get to our Facebook page, our Twitter page, our merch page, where you can get t-shirts like Steven and I are wearing today with our Two Geeks logo. You can get a Two Geeks coffee mug if you want to join us at the virtual coffee table. Speaking of that, I sent John Keller, our listener John Keller, I sent him a prize pack this week. He just got it. He's supposed to send us a picture of him with his coffee mug. So that's another thing. If you buy a coffee mug, please send us a picture. We'd love to put it up on the Facebook page. Yeah, on the mug wall. I want to do that. I want to create a mug wall on the web page. I've had it in the back of my mind. I just haven't got to it. So, but yeah, we try to get any guest. We get them a coffee mug, and if you've bought a coffee mug, please send us a picture so we can put it on the coffee wall. All right. Anything else, Steven?
No, that's it. Great. Thank you so much.
All right. With that said, I'll take us out of here. Over and out, and may the Force be with you. Thank you for joining us today on the Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast. Tune in next week when we will have more news and reviews. Until then,
may the Force be with you.